For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to Fat Chat, the podcast that wouldn't just take a bite out of the Big Apple, we'd have the whole damn apple.
Yes.
And this week we're going to be talking all about American plus size fashion and plus size life.
Hi, I'm George from Fuller Figure Fuller Bust, and my favourite three things about America are definitely Drag Race, Annie's Mac and Cheese, and of course Dolly Parton. Can I get an amen?
Hi, I'm Rifki from Slink Magazine, and my favourite things about the US are just how cheery everybody is in the service industry. Don't even care if they don't mean it, I don't mind. It just makes me happy when someone asks if they can help me and have a nice day. It's great. Squishers, we would love to hear what your favourite things are about the States, if you've been there at all. If you've not been in there somewhere you really want to go, let us know. Don't forget, you can follow us over on social media at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook.
So, as we mentioned this week, the episode is all about being plus size and plus size fashion, but in the US of A. We've got a lot of listeners that are from all over the globe, not just in the UK. And obviously we've got some of you guys over in America as well. So hello to you. And we aren't as qualified to talk about different areas of fashion and what life is like over there. We are very much tourists in that area. So we've got ourselves a tour guide, and that is in the form of Slink's US editor and fashion influencer, writer, the extraordinary Renee Cafaro. And she is joining us from New York City, and she's going to talk us through what plus size is like on the other side of the pond. So hello, Renee!
Woo! Hi, Renee!
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me today. This is really exciting. I'm sure you guys, want to be here, but I wish I was there. So, grass is always greener on the other side of the pond.
It is,
but thank you so much for having me. And I'm excited to talk about all things plus size. I am the U.S. editor for Slink Magazine. So I am Rifki's counterpart in the U.S. and kind of do all things Slink related, from, covering events, writing things, going to New York Fashion Week.
Sounds
traveling
amazing.
Around to really random places to do. Before lockdown and quarantine was happening, I was doing quite a bit of local TV network affiliates, all the local TV stations, morning shows to do style segments and talk about Slink and show style at every size. And fashion in the U.S. seems to be always sort of driven by the major cities, but really the consumer base that drives the market itself is all the places that average people have not really heard of. When you think of the United States, you don't really think of San Diego or Phoenix or St. Louis and Cleveland, like those types of places. You think of Miami, New York, Chicago, maybe LA, and you forget about the majority of folks who are shopping, especially plus size women, they're shopping in shopping malls all over the country. And so it was really great to go on tour kind of and talk to younger people at universities and radio stations and local TV morning shows about Slink, because that's really where our consumer is. Not that there aren't, obviously a lot of plus size people everywhere. It's still 67% of women. I think last year, Walmart came out with some really interesting market research that the average American woman is actually closer to a size US 18 and closer to a size to about 5'3". So that was really what's so surprising to me, is because most of the brands, they're so used to their fit models being maybe size 12, 14 and 5'7", 5'9", things like that.
Yeah.
So, but the average consumer that is in a close to $30 billion industry worldwide, there's a lot of money there, and we're starting to get on board. Just being the sort of expert on these types of topics and going on and talking about it and raising awareness for something that it's kind of funny you shouldn't have to raise awareness for, because it's everywhere, but that's what I've been doing for the past 5 years, and it's been really, really exciting, and it's been extremely rewarding to talk about these issues and help women gain access to fashion everywhere.
Amazing.
So,
amazing.
Your passion is here in the room. I love it.
Yeah, I get very
It's also
passionate.
The accent.
Yeah.
It's the accent. It kind of makes me feel super motivated. I'm yes. like, yeah, yeah, actually, I really, I just love the way Renee says Slink Magazine. I feel I should record it and it should just be like the soundtrack of the website.
It's so funny, you know, because like, I guess you guys probably, I mean, I guess no one thinks that they have an accent themselves. But I always think of American accents as like neutral, you know, like, that we don't really sound like anything. So it's so funny to be like, I love your accent. I'm like, oh, I think we're so boring. Like, yeah, yeah. Americans just sound so blah. But yeah, I am very passionate about what I do. I before I was in plus size fashion, I mean, I'd written for my own blog under a pseudonym named Roxy. So a lot of people follow me as Foxy Roxy Fashion on Instagram. And I, you know, I kept that name. I started it about 10 years ago or so. Wow. Just because I got tired of, you know, emailing my friends links to places where I used to buy clothes. Because I've always, you know, been plus size of some sort, you know, for my height, I guess I've always been plus size, even in my skinny, crazy, disordered diet pill days. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but I always loved fashion. So I had to put in a lot of work before there were a lot of choices, and friends would always ask me where I got stuff. And I didn't even really understand what blogs were. And someone's just like, go on Blogspot or Tumblr or something, and then just put something up there so then you can send a link to your friends. I didn't know about monetizing it. It was like way before bloggers even happened. Like Instagram was like just coming out. So, you know, I kind of came into this world in a very different way than most, you know, quote, influencers do now. You know, so the whole time I was doing that, I actually worked in government and politics, and I've worked in New York City and state government for 14 years. I did a lot of stuff on social and racial justice, you know, women's equality, dealing with pay equity, you know, closing the pay gap for women and stuff like that.
Wow.
And I really think that my work with Slink has been, I've done more for women in the past 5 years than I probably did in the decade before that, because actually getting out there and talking to women about the fundamentally the most important thing, which is self-worth, feeling beautiful, and surviving as yourself, your authentic self in this crazy society, I think that does more on an individual level, and it's more impactful than every women's rally, if Hillary Clinton and electeds and stuff like that, that I've done the whole rest of my life. You know, not that those weren't great, but I feel so much more passionate about what I do now.
I feel like I've just been to like Renee's TED talk. Like, just I've been in the. I feel like I feel impassioned again. I want to take you back, Renee, to like the stats that you were talking about, because a 16-18 is like a UK 20-ish. Like, that's the average size for a US woman now.
Yeah.
Do you think the market has improved in the last 5-10 years? Do you feel like it's finally getting seen and heard?
Yes. I mean, finally, I think brands are seeing the value in the money that they can make, you know, and I know some people don't like that. There's like, you know, they want people to genuinely want to serve this community. And I believe that's true. They should genuinely want to serve all humans. However, you know, cynically, I'll take it. If they just want to do it because they know that it will help their bottom line and that's what gets them in the field, I'll take it. You know, just access, I think, is the first hurdle. It's gotten a lot better. It just took a really long time because somebody had to be first. What had happened for so many years beforehand is that, you know, America generally is self-loathing in so many ways, but we are one of the fattest countries, but we're also the most fat-shaming country. You know, that I've traveled a lot, and I think it might be the most disordered when it comes to body image in America. So it took a really long time for them to believe that fat women wanted fashion. You know, there's always the idea that we want to cover ourselves, so, or that it's matronly, or, you know, it's your baby weight that you never got rid of after you had 5 kids. And so that's like what people thought of. So if you saw plus size stuff forever, the only thing you could find were like mom jeans and like really large shirts and stuff that just really covered you and just looked like something an old lady would wear. And then you'd see a couple of brands try to do plus size, but they wouldn't market it. They wouldn't style it well. It would be in the back of the store where there's no air conditioning or music. It was just really sad to see that, you know, they squandered an opportunity, and then they turn around and say, look, no one wants to buy it. So this is what we did for like 20 years. Definitely in America, we've gotten a lot better as far as understanding what the consumer is and getting more choice. And now that folks are actually putting in the effort to put in all of the money they need to get to the influencers, get to their consumer, understand their consumer better. You're getting better choices. And Eloquii, I think, actually really helped a lot because they were so wildly successful that they ended up getting bought by Walmart, along with Walmart buying ModCloth and a couple other companies that do Plus. And though I don't really like Walmart from a general ethical workforce perspective, they really are indicative of like a market trend, though. It's like if people see that like Walmart, the most successful retailer in the country, is spending millions and millions and millions of dollars getting all these things that do plus size, people start paying attention. They're like, oh, that must be where the money is. And so we're seeing a lot of folks jump in and do collaborations and stuff. So I'm pretty proud of the States. We still have a long way to go, but we've gotten so much better than we did in years and years where I could never find anything fun unless I was in Britain. Actually, Britain's where I found the first clothing that was actually nice that I could wear. And that was back in 1999.
Oh, wow.
And I was shocked. Yeah, absolutely shocked to finally find stuff that fit me. I mean, probably 99, it was a UK, probably like a UK 18. And I'm probably like a 22 or whatever now. And I was really shocked that you guys just have them in your stores. There's just UK 18s just out in the wild. Yeah. And they're just on the rack with everything else. And it's not like, you know, hidden someplace. But I could just go into a store and I just never thought I could buy anything because the store's here and they don't say plus size. They have a big sign that says plus size section. Like I know there's not going to be anything remotely close to my size, because we go up to what would be, I guess, a UK 8.
An 8?
Because it's a US 12.
Oh.
So, no, like, so it would be...
Wait, is it a US 12 and 8? A UK 8?
No.
Wait.
It's the other way around. I'm smaller in the US.
It's a UK 4.
Oh, you're smaller in the US. That's right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, all right. So,
guys, it's confusing out there for sizes.
It is.
It's so like, confusing.
To a 12. To a 12. That's crazy.
So US 12.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, US 12 is a
UK 16.
Is a UK 16.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Well, that does lead me nicely on to what do you think are the big differences between US and UK fashion? And now, who does it better? Because you said in 99, we did it better. What do you think of it now?
I still like a lot of the clothes I find in Britain better just in general, because I think some of it is a little bit higher quality because it's not just four plus size. I do still love the experience of knowing that the exact same garment, my friend or my sister that's much thinner than me could be available in my size. And, you know, the biggest difference, I think, to me would be the quality. So, yeah, it's the quality. It's that plus size fashion here a lot of times ends up being a lot of fast fashion. So it's a lot of spandex and cheap stuff. Whereas when I'm in the UK, it's either pretty good quality high street stores like Monsoon or, you know, River Island or something like that, where the construction is just a little bit better. It's more expensive, but it's a better quality garment. Also, you have a lot of independent, you know, smaller brands that cater to plus sizes, which I love. And the UK is also kicking our ass when it comes to sexy lingerie.
Yes!
Kicking our ass. I mean, the only places to really buy lingerie in the US, like, you can't really buy them in store unless you're going to Lane Bryant. So, like, Lane Bryant obviously is our Evans, you know, it's like our standard go-to, like it's been the plus size, the only plus size place for the longest time. So now, you know, there's Torrid, there's a lot of other stuff now, but Lane Bryant was always the go-to. And Cacique that they have is nice, and they carry most sizes in stores, so you can actually try things on. But if you're some of those sort of extended sizes or like H cups and stuff like that, you probably still need to order things. And so like Adore Me, Torrid, or where we go for lingerie. But even when you buy the best stuff you can get, like, unless it's the holiday season or around Valentine's Day, it's still kind of like just shitty t-shirt bras. I never understood that either. Like, I'm a 42G. I have, like, huge boobs. But, like, every time I try to find something in my size, it comes with padding. And I don't understand that.
Yeah, I've never understood that.
And I'm like, I think it's like for shaping purposes, but I'm like, the last thing I need is like more padding up here. Like I have plenty of bulk where that is. Like, I don't need any more. And there are like these weird big like t-shirt bras that like take up your whole suitcase. And I can't, and they're all kind of, you know, beige and like really boring. So when I'm in Britain, I still try to actually do a little shopping at Ann Summers, or Pervy Kate action. Yes. It's much sexier. You know, you guys might not have as much plus size specific stuff on the streets, and we are definitely having more. We have more events.
Oh my God, your events are incredible.
Yeah, we do say plus size more, and it's like, so I think there's a lot more plus size visibility, but yeah, that doesn't always translate in the best plus size fashion choice, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, so you're saying Britain, we're kind of winning on the product front. But actually, if we look at it, you know, you've had some pretty massive plus size model campaigns, the Lane Bryant's No Angel. You know, when we were at New York Fashion Week together and in previous seasons, we've seen so many more plus size models on the catwalk.
Yeah.
At New York Fashion Week than the UK. So why do you think mainstream fashion there has like really adopted the plus size models, the sort of plus size hashtags and that kind of thing so much better than the UK?
You know, like I said, I think a lot of it has to do with money, you know, and realizing that's an opportunity, but also it's trendy. Like, I mean, plus size is hot right now. Like body image is hot right now. Maybe not plus size, but inclusivity, body positivity, you know, self-love at every size, that kind of stuff is very, very in. Unfortunately, still, we center those conversations on straight-sized women with, like, a tiny bit of cellulite. And, you know, they get to be the ones who are the ones with the battle cry on body pause, which drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's okay to be fat as long as you kind of don't look fat from the front.
You know? Yeah, there's a bit of fat, but it's gone. Yes. It's gone now.
Yes, it's like, as long as you don't have enough of a double chin to look too fat when they give you the super mega close-up on a magazine cover, or that you can look like you don't have fat rolls in your stomach and looks reads as flat like Ashley Graham's stomach, then it's okay. But when you're visibly plus size, you know, they still don't really give us that opportunity to be in the spotlight, and we're still kind of marginalized. But the idea, just in general, like wokeness in America, you know, we're all about it all the time. We are trying to atone for our many, many, many sins as being puritanical bastards in America. we're getting better, and I think that's where the hashtags and stuff come in. It's like, this is trending, and the idea of like love everybody in every color, shape, size, gender, you know, sexual orientation. And I love that, and I love that we're finally getting to be part of that. What my work is, and what I hope the work of every other influencer is, it's not about paid ads and paid posts and going to fancy Fashion Week events. Like, that's all fun and well and good. Well, our actual work is to make sure that this stuff sticks, to make sure it's not tokenism. Yeah. And that when the hashtags aren't trending anymore, how many of these brands still give a shit?
Amen.
So there's still a lot of work to do, and that's what we have to keep up with.
If George and I were going to come to the States to do a big shop, give us, you know, a little mini whiz of indie brands and mainstream brands that people should be looking out for.
Well, where I would take you is probably just to get a drink and then hang out with my laptop, because unfortunately, a lot of the best things that we have aren't brick and mortar stores. But if I could just take you, does it matter if it's in New York or not? Can I just like take you?
No, let's go on a tour, baby.
Anywhere.
Let's go.
All right, so we'd do like a magical tour of like the entire States, and I could just beam you up anywhere I want.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we get to New York first. You got to see world's largest store. You go to Macy's. It is also probably has like world's largest plus size section. It's like a huge floor of stuff. So it's a lot of your basics and, you know, the stuff that you'd expect, like the Michael Kors and Ralph Lauren, Calvin Klein, kind of those types of standard brands that you have in all the department stores. But I think it's probably the best example of it because it has the most. So I would do Macy's, then take it down to Soho, where I'm very happy that one of my favorite shopping districts, just such a cool historic district of Soho, now has both Eloquii and Universal Standard as brick and mortar stores, which is really exciting. And I take you to 125th. Like I said, I owe so much to the Black community when it comes to plus size fashion. Ashley Stewart on 125th, and a lot of other like small stores at like Jimmy Jam's, like D's, like there's like a bunch of like really random like individual stores that have been there for like decades, right? All on 125th. It's one of some of the first places I used to shop when I first moved to New York in 2004. all my black coworkers would always wear these like really awesome suits, and they looked super sexy and looked really, really cool and fashionable. And I had like this awful like mom suit on that was just really ill fitting. And I'm like, where do you guys get your clothes? I don't understand why I'm not getting this. And they're like, Ashley Stewart, you got to come uptown. So like, I went up to Ashley Stewart and realized like everything there fits me because it's actually cut for plus sizes. And I was so excited. So it's very sexy, really fun. This place called Rainbow, which I don't think exists anywhere outside of the States. Super, super cheap, but really, really fun. And it's where you can get like, just try out some really crazy trends if you're not sure how you feel about stuff and you just want to try some wacky trends. That's always a good place to go. And I think my first Rainbow I went to was uptown as well, but they're kind of all over the place. So that'd be my New York tour. Then I would immediately beam you up to Las Vegas.
Nice.
To my my favorite boutiques in the entire universe is a woman named Renee Tyler. So Renee Tyler Boutique is the only plus size boutique on the Las Vegas Strip. They were in the Venetian, but now they're in Fashion Show Mall. It was so cool to find them because I used to live on the West Coast and go to Vegas all the time. And you always want to like buy some glitzy, ridiculous stuff in a casino store. And I could never find anything that fit me. And so I'm like, I want to wear like a little sequin, whatever. And like, you know, take my blackjack money and buy something absurd and like glitzy and then go out on the strip. And all my friends got to do that. I never got to. And then finally, a few trips ago, I was doing some research to find plus size stores, and I found Renee Tyler, and we've ever since become good friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, there she was, you know, in the Forum shops next to Louis Vuitton and Kate Spade, and there she was. All plus sizes, all great. She designs her own stuff, but she also has a lot of other brands that she carries as well. There's a lot of gowns and stuff like that. So it's like, if you were going to get married, she has like a whole section of cute white dresses too. So it's like, if you decided you're going to like do a little Vegas elopement, you stop
maybe
there first.
Maybe that's what Ricky's going to do.
I mean, if you guys are still in lockdown next year, that's going to be real sad. And you might have to come to the States and do that. And I would cap off, if I'm already going to the West Coast, I'd cap off one other place that I would take you guys. And that is the Plus Bus. So the Plus Bus is in LA, and though there are a few places across the country that do secondhand and thrift for plus sizes, I've tried all of them across the country that I can find, and the Plus Bus is hands down the best. Probably because being in LA, they have a lot of great influencers and stuff around and that bring their wardrobes in. So just being able to get stuff that's secondhand, they get some really cool vintage pieces that are like legitimately vintage. Some things are just like Eloquy from last year, but you can get it for, you know, a fraction of the price now because it's secondhand. And I just think it's so much fun, and they just expanded, and you can actually even buy stuff now with the pandemic. But all of these places I'm talking about, all these small businesses have now pivoted into doing stuff online. Oh, which reminds me, Plus Brooklyn. I totally forgot about them. Oh my God, Alexis is gonna kill me. Oops. You can also buy their stuff on their Insta stories as well. They are a secondhand store, and they are really great because the same reason why LA is great. It's like a lot of the influencers come in and they bring in their stuff. So I do a little thrifting with you ladies, and a little glam, a little high street, a little mix of everything, and then go take you someplace to get some bubbly or something.
Nice.
Sounds good. Like me and George are in.
And the pandemic has given us something at least, and that is making these great places put their stuff online. So one thing COVID has given us that's good.
Yes, I know.
Ring the bell.
You can shop all this stuff. You know, I love it. It's fun. You can look at their stories, and then you just sort of claim stuff as you see it on their stories. It's helping small businesses, and I really think that we need to focus on that.
So we've talked about plus size being a key fashion market in the US, and there are lots of brands to shop out there. But Renee, from more of a sociological standpoint, is plus size really any different out there to here? And do you think it's more acceptable to be plus size in the US, or do you think there is the same stigma as you find in the UK and in Europe? You have already touched a bit on this. It seems like it's very polarized out there.
It's definitely very polarized in America in general, like for all the reasons I said. It's better in the UK, and I'll tell you why. Because you guys have a representation on TV. And,
yes, we do.
And it is really exciting when I go there. I don't watch reality shows at home. I watch them in the UK because there's more biodiversity. You guys have a crazy show called Naked Attraction.
Yeah, they're always trying to recruit my followers for that. I always get emails from them.
And I was like so excited. Like there's like girls like Fupas and like, you know, like belly rolls and cellulite. And they're just like, they're not getting fat shamed. It's not like the fat episode. You know, just like men bodies. And women, just like, they're just body, regular looking people that are on these dating shows. and all this stuff. And it's like, we don't have any of that here. It's like all of our quote reality shows.
Oh, I just watched Selling Sunset. My God. Like, you don't find them like that in the estate agents here.
No, exactly. I mean, they're just ridiculous. I mean, they're all just like wannabe models and actors that like didn't make the cut anywhere else. And then they put them on a reality show. So they all look like these little Barbie and Ken people. So it's like both men and women aren't properly represented. So the stigma in Britain is so much lower than it is here. I mean, when it comes to dating, when it comes to size acceptance, finding clothes, I just think you guys don't have as much hang-ups about it as we do because it's just out there more and it's presented as normal, whereas we always present it as an other here. That is a problem.
It's so funny, isn't it? Because I think came to New York because it was like super exciting and it felt like that would be the place that plus size would be great. And it's so funny, since I met Renee, she's like, get me to Britain, and I'm like, smuggle me to New York, let's do like a life swap. And
we need to do a life swap. We should. That'd be really
fun. Should
I feel like we could talk to Renee for hours. I feel like she could talk to us for hours. She's got so much to say. She's actually given us ideas for future episodes. So yeah,
we'll have Renee back to talk about more stuff.
Oh my God. You are friend of the pod, deep friend of the pod. But yeah, thank you so much for your insight, for bringing us other brands. If people want to find out more about you, they want to follow and see what you're up to, where can they find you? What are your handles? Let the people know.
So to find me, I am Foxy Roxy Fashion on Instagram and on Facebook. Also, obviously, if you're not already subscribing and following Slink Magazine, shame on you.
She's good.
She's so good. She's so well trained.
And lastly, you can always contact me through my website, reneecafaro.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Renee.
That's all we've got time for. And we promise we will get Renee to come back on and talk more because she's got so, so much interesting stuff to say. I basically always describe Renee to everyone I meet as the most interesting person I've ever met. And I truly, truly mean that.
Talk a lot.
No, but
fascinating. And I love it. This has been a Secret Recordings podcast. We have new episodes every single Tuesday. You can find us over at Fat Chat Pod. And if you're on Apple, make sure you rate us 5 stars and leave us a lovely review.
See you next Tuesday.